If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
What are they talking about in Helsinki? What were, you know, all the stuff? I mean, there's all of that. The tax returns that he won't show us. It's so obvious. And where is he getting the money? Where did he get all the money? And I mean, all roads, as Speaker Pelosi said, all roads lead to Putin.
It was Jeff Daniels. Who was it that asked Jeff Daniels? Oh, gosh, please hold on to your seats because I'm in a 6 Ways to Sunday crabby mood.
Was he dumb or dumber?
Both. Who was sitting, by the way, let me first do this. Let's just all take a collective breath before we turn on the fire hose. I'm Dana Lash. It is so good to be with you today. Let's help each other get across the threshold, the finish line that is this hellhole we call planet Earth. You can find me here.
Find Dana at D Lash on Twitter and Instagram, Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube, official Dana Lash on Facebook, and simulcast via the First, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Okay, that gave me like 2 seconds to kind of calm down. Hi, welcome to the show. All right. Yeah. I didn't send a newsletter out last night because it was my birthday, and I was like, you know what? I'm not doing it. But you will get one tonight, and I'm not going to apologize for how long it's going to be. You're just going to deal with it. A lot of info in there. Deal with it. Deal with the free information. So, Jeff, what's this? What the hell's the guy's name? I haven't seen him on anything since the 90s.
Jeff Daniels.
He looks like every perpetually messy schlub out there, doesn't he?
Right.
Like, I bet he, like, just wears a regular shirt and calls it an untucket. He's that guy. So, where did he come from? He was on, what did you say, CNN? They're all the same to me. They're all the same. Because who was sitting around during that show meeting? And they go, gosh, guys, you know whose opinion we haven't heard yet about Trump's taxes? Oh, MSNBC. God love them. We haven't heard from Jeff Daniels. Jeff Daniels, everyone. We were all just very excited to hear what Jeff Daniels had to say about Trump's taxes. This is like having Greta Thunberg on to talk about American energy policy. Hey, let's get that one actor who hasn't been on anything since Dana was in high school. Really, what has he been on? Don't tell me if he's been on anything. I clearly didn't watch it, nor do I care.
I'm sure he's done a few things.
I'm sure he has, but I don't, is this like, I mean, who does the, he's in the Comey rule. Wait a minute, hold up. We're going to sidebar hardcore. Have you read like some of the reviews for all of the, what is the one that came out? The Comey, I guess it was the one he's in, the Comey thing that came out?
Yeah.
It's awful. First off, the makeup looks awful. When you look like someone's craft project from Hobby Lobby, I'm sorry, but then it's a bad thing. When you look like your face should be sold on Etsy, because that's what his makeup looked like. The guy's makeup that played Trump,
right.
It is all so bad. It's awful. If anything, the era of Trump has taught us that a lot of people out there who have political ideas and thoughts and also access to camera equipment want to make films, guys, and they view themselves as being filmmakers, much in the same way Steve Bannon did when he used clip art, the equivalent of clip art, to make his documentaries. Same thing. I know, they interviewed me for one, and I was like, what? I'm not giving this to my family. All right, so, I'm sassy today. They decided, let's have Jeff Daniels to talk about the nothing burger that is Trump taxes. The only people who think that story is anything are people who are stupid and should never, ever, ever be put in any position in which they are in any way in charge of anything monetary related, including their own personal budget. Ever. Well, let's see here. The article actually says he paid over $5 million in taxes that he didn't legally have to pay, but he was legally required to pay $750. Somehow, I'm going to take from this that I pay more tax than Trump, even if. Let's just lay this down for just a hot little second. Even if you, everyone else is as dumb as some of these people are, and they believe this, then instead of getting mad at how much tax someone didn't pay, you should be asking yourself, why do I, the moron, keep voting for people who want me to pay taxes to the nth degree? Why do I, the moron, want to continue paying tons of taxes and think it's bad when someone else doesn't pay tons of taxes? Why do I, the moron, keep voting for those people? The Democrats, why? There you go. That's how you, what you should be asking. This is the time when you should be going, let's abolish the IRS. Let's do that. I realize you're going to have a bunch of people who are IRS people that are going to be very upset by this because they will be out of work. And you want to know something amazing about this? I don't care. I don't care. And I'm not going to pretend like I am. So, no, this is a, it's a dumb story. It is a dumb non, it's a non-story. So the debate is tonight. This is going to come up and then Joe Biden is going to forget his train of thought about it. That's what's going to happen. It's going to come up and then Joe Biden's going to talk about it. Then he's going to forget exactly what was said. Are you guys ready for this? Are you ready for the poo NATO that is the debate tonight?
You think Joe will have an earpiece or something?
I don't know how he's going to live off of prompter.
Right.
His podium is going to be literally made of Post-its.
It's prompter free.
He's going to have stuff written all over his hand. I don't know how. It's, I don't know. I mean, Trump is used to this kind of stuff. Joe isn't. Do you guys realize the last debate, everyone treated it like the Thunderdome? Because Democrats, there were Democrats who hated Hillary Clinton. I guarantee you, there were people who watched that debate that were like, gosh, I hope Trump verbally beats her to death. Just really hope that happens. And they would vote for her anyway, but they disliked her to that extent. There are people who are going to be watching tonight. It's going to be kind of the same, except at some point, I don't know. I hate making predictions because I don't care. I just want to watch and be pleasantly surprised. I always expect the worst. So in that way, I can be viewed as a pretend optimist. You see how that works? If you expect the worst from everyone and everything, then you are always pleasantly surprised when they actually aren't the worst. And so in that way, it makes you kind of look like an optimist, right? We're going with that because it, I like the way that sounds in my head. Yeah, it works that way. So I don't know if you can prep Joe Biden enough. Because part of me, and I don't know to what degree this is part of me thinks that he is just, he's faking it. Part of me thinks that he's faking being this, forgetful old pawpaw, right? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they painted some liver spots on him or something. I don't know. I just get that impression. You know what I mean? He was so mean, not just like 10 years ago. Really, at any other time in his life, he was so mean. Go back and look at the whole Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill thing. And privately, apparently, he didn't even believe her. That was said. But go back and look. He was like Blaine from Pretty in Pink, like that kind of jerk. You know what I mean? The smart aleck, entitled, that dude. He had that whole air about him. So this, I hope that at some point he goes, hey, fat. I'm just waiting for it.
It's a bunch of malarkey.
It's a bunch
That's
of malarkey.
A Spanish word.
Kane, is that true?
Malarkey?
Yeah, what is that Spanish for?
I don't know.
I'm not the president.
There you go. So I'm watching the debate tonight. I think everybody is. I think this is the first time that everybody's going to be watching the debate. Because something, I don't know what's going to... Or, you know what he may do? And here's my other thought. Joe may really actually be compromised somehow with wit or response, and it's just going to look just like overkill. You know what I mean? It's going to be, I'm trying to figure out a good analogy for this. I really am. I'm trying to figure out a good analogy. It's just like watching, I don't know, Andre the Giant wrestle a woman or something. I don't know. It's going to be kind of equivalent of that. You know what I mean? Like a tiny, smallish woman. It's just, and then that may garner sympathy for Joe. You know what I mean? So it could be something to that extent. But I also think that Biden is going to try, because he plagiarizes everything. If it's not policy, Trump will come out and say, we're going to start making, which he did. He came out months ago and was like, we're going to start, the government's going to buy, you know, American-made products, etc. We're doing America first. This is how we're approaching it. And then Biden comes out 2 months later, guys, I came up with this great policy. We're going to have the government buy American-made products. It's America first. I first came up with it. But you didn't, though. Amazing how that's not true. Yeah, I forgot that Trump came up with it first. So in my mind, it's brand new. Ooh. So I want there to be a moment when that kind of situation happens. And then Trump goes, yeah, I came out with that several months before you did. You plagiarized me again. When are you going to stop plagiarizing? See, I would really enjoy that a lot. That could be a great belated gift for me for my belated birthday. It's my birthday month. Let's be real. Women don't have a birthday. Women have a birth month. So I want that as part of my present. That would be great. What are you looking most forward to tonight, Kane?
Oh, man. Well, just the corners that I'm sure Trump will be able to paint Biden into, because he's literally a sheet of talking points. And so he's already put out pretty much a lot of indication on where the messaging is going to be tonight with this debate. And so I'm just looking forward to him just checking, then checkmating Joe Biden.
Do you think Biden's going to come out in a mask?
Probably.
I mean, like to heavy virtue signal. He's going to walk out in a mask.
He'll hang it off his ear when he talks.
Oh, my gosh. How hysterical would that be? The other thing I'm wondering, are they going to just stand at the podium? Because that's kind of boring. They developed this format, and I don't remember when it was. I think it was Bush-Gore. Remember when they were kind of walking around, and then Gore, little pencil nut Gore, decided he was going to try to walk up to Bush and intimidate him? And Bush stopped and just kind of like head nodded at him? And it made Gore look like such a douche. It did. He just looked so pathetic. Like, really, anybody's going to believe that this guy is going to, why don't you release my chakra? Like, this guy is going to be intimidating George Bush. So, and then they did it again with Obama Romney, and then with Trump and Hillary Clinton, it looked like they were each serving each other in an epic rap battle. So I don't know what the format, the way that I've seen like some of the shots of the stage, they have the podium sort of apart and facing each other, old timey style. But if they have a lav mic on, they could walk around theoretically, and maybe, I don't know, because the audience is limited, so that's the other thing. So I'm just very excited about this. Maybe they'll bring on Jeff Daniels to discuss it, MSNBC, and then maybe when you have a story about women's issues, you can bring on Jeff Daniels to discuss it, MSNBC, PMSNBC. All right, so coming up, we got a lot of stuff. More on the debate. The people freaking out over the gulf between public and private education. We've got that, a stupid piece from The Atlantic that's just dumb. A ton of other things. So you don't want to miss a single bit of today's show, because we're lighting everyone and everything on fire. If you haven't tried Superbeats Soft Chews, you are missing out. Superbeats Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Superbeats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeats Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com, and when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Soft Chews when you purchase two. danasbeats.com.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new danaradio.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So apparently the president asked for an additional rule ahead of tonight's debate between himself and Joe Biden. He's asking for a third-party inspector to look for electronic devices in the candidate's ears. And meanwhile, Biden has been asking for a break every 30 minutes. I'm not even making this up. This is a real headline. Let's go to the next one. Oh my gosh. That's actually true. I'm so coming back to this. Scientists find a way to plant ideas in people's dreams to boost their creativity or help them confront sources of stress and trauma. What was that? You don't like that? It doesn't seem safe. This is the kind of stuff that I think is creepy. They use what they call targeted dream incubation. And experts at MIT have been able to guide people's dreams towards particular themes by repeating information during the earliest stage of sleep. It's the stage is known as hypnagogia. Hypnagogia? Gogigia? That. Okay, whatever. It sounds like the Swedish Higgy or whatever that is.
Is that what happens when I fall asleep with the TV's on and I start dreaming about what the TV's doing?
Maybe. But they said that it's... And apparently that hypnagogia is similar to REM, not REM, not the band, but, you know, the sleep cycle. And that basically what they're doing is, like, as you're falling asleep, they play messages and they can direct your dreams that way. Sounds kind of threatening, just saying. A drone flies a human kidney 10 miles across the Las Vegas desert. I can't believe no one's worried about, like raptor birds just snatching these things out of the air. They're just saying, like, how? Because don't they live out there? No one thinks about this. A mystery metallic object appears twice on ISS live feed hovering above Earth. I'm not saying it's them aliens, but it might be them aliens. They said that it disappeared out of sight. It appears to be the same color as the space station, like a metal alloy. It looks the same color. It looks like the same color, but it was spotted on their live feed. Interesting. Stick with us because them debate rules, man. This is going to be a bust up tonight. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
He says he likes Putin and Putin likes him. Well, what's the connection? We'll see. But the fact is, whatever that leads to, the fact is over $400 million in leverage that somebody has over the president of the United States. If he were going to be a president, a federal appointee, that would be a major obstacle because someone has leverage over you.
Who? That's Nancy Pelosi, obviously. Who has, where are they getting these figures? Just randomly pulling them out of the sky. They apparate into my mind out of the ether. That's where it comes from. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash.
I have a credit card that's got something on me, I guess, then. They have
I just don't understand what she's talking about.
That leverage on me, that credit card.
Here's two things. My husband made one of these points to me last night. Two things. Oh, my gosh, stop it. I'm going to die. You're making me forget what I was going to say. Stop it. Live radio. Everybody shut up.
Leverage.
Yes. So they're mad over Trump for not having either zero evidence, zero, none, showing that he got anything from Putin, But yet Hunter Biden took millions from some old Russian lady, oligarch lady, and the Democrat Party worked with a Russian dude who is known to be hostile to the United States, a foreign agent.
We have all the proof.
That we got proof of. That's like when, and this is the point I had mentioned, when everybody, when they were making up the story about Trump saying something bad about the troops, and then Joe Biden says something bad to them on tape.
He's just joking.
He's just joking. It was, you guys accused Trump of saying what Biden said on tape. So it's, I'm just so done with this. Why can't you people just stick to, here's our policy. Do you like it? No, because they know it sucks. They know that it's ridiculous. Who in their right mind looks at the Democrat ticket? I know there's some out there. Boy, I love what they're saying about giving all my money to the government for nothing. I love it. Yes, let's totally defund the police. Sounds amazing. It must be fun to get robbed and assaulted every night just trying to walk to my car from my place of employment. I mean, that's essentially what, oh, yes, yes, he's talking about defunding the police. Do not take any second of your time to try to sway me on the fact that taking money from the police and taking that money from the police and putting it somewhere else isn't defunding the police, because it is. If I take money from you and give it to me, I have defunded you. That's how that works. But Dana, no, that's how it works. Yeah, they, goodness, they were really going over the story with the New York Times. But yet again, it's Biden that has, it's Hunter Biden, this guy. Where the hell is this guy at? He just like, what, stays in his yurt and paints? Where is he at? Have you seen him lately? Barefoot Biden, painting with his mouth. Remember, he spit paints?
Yeah.
It looks like a toddler got, okay, sidebar. What is that thing that I used to see advertised like all the time on the TV when I was a kid? And you could draw all kinds of circles with it. Not a compass. Shut up. You know what I'm talking about? And it was like, it was like one of the spiral little thingies that, and you could, it had different colors and it came like, it was a whole kit and it advertised during the during commercials on Saturday morning cartoons. And I was like, oh yeah, I want that. That's, I mean, there are toddlers that have that instrument that can do way better than Hunter Biden can do spit painting. So I don't know. He's spit painting somewhere in a yurt in California. And meanwhile, he has, you know, diminished dad out there taking all this stuff for him. They lied about Junior meeting with someone at the building. That didn't happen. But here, this dude took money. He took money from Russians. And they've admitted that he took money from Russians.
Millions.
Millions and millions of dollars. And then the people who actually put him on the energy board said, yeah, we did, because his dad was vice president. He knows nothing about energy, because they wanted to have access to the vice president's son. So they put the spit painter on their board about of an energy company. That made no one suspicious. No one stopped at any point. It was like they put that guy on the board. That guy. They put him on the board because he knows so much about energy. Well, the most Hunter Biden knows about energy is all the private flights that he would take to everywhere else except the country where the company board was located, because he never showed up for a meeting. But he ended up getting fat cash for it. And so the media, instead of asking him about that, well, but Trump, though, but Hunter Biden actually took the money. No, Trump paid millions of dollars in taxes. He has no debt to Russia at all whatsoever. This was nothing. Gosh, this is so stupid that there's like a 2-day news cycle on this. I read it. I read the story. And when I read the story, because I actually have the like actual developed human reading comprehension, he paid the government over $5 million in tax. This idea that he didn't pay any taxes is not true. Anyone who says this literally did not read the actual story. They even put it in the story. It's hidden in this thing called paragraphs that make up this thing called the actual story that New York Times published. Good heavens. So yeah, there was nothing illegal. There was nothing about his net worth in there either. And he had everything that he had said, from the audit to things that he had done to reduce tax burden, was all legit. It all panned out. That's it. And if media were actually, they're so partisan, the coverage is stupid. They would be doing a story about how corrupt the IRS is and how corrupt the system is and how ridiculous the House is for creating a system that is just so stupid and burdensome. You know, they did this too back in 2016. They tried to say he didn't pay any federal taxes. And guess what? That wasn't true either. How many times are they going to try the same story? They came out. Oh, my gosh. This is why I ended up getting real sassy. You guys want to know? We're going to talk about this coming up next hour. But they also were trying to say The Atlantic wrote a piece where it said, oh, Trump was mocking Christians because he made fun of Benny Hinn. Since when was Benny Hinn a Christian? Okay, we'll come back to that. Yeah, I'm just going to leave that out there on the table for you. I hope some people get enraged because it's true and I'm tired of pretending that it's not. We're just going to do the Joker meme verbally forever. So Senator Dianne Feinstein wanted a universal mask mandate at all airports, but she didn't do it. There's a video that came out. Tucker Carlson played that last night. She was going through a private terminal. That's where all the fancy rich people go when they are getting on their private jets and flying off. Because did you honestly think Dianne Feinstein was going to go into the poor's airport? I mean, come on, to fly with the poor's? Did you guys think that? No, she was going through, and I love that she had the pilot carrying her dog and luggage. Did y'all see that photo? She literally had the pilot walking in front of her carrying her little dog. I don't know, maybe it was a hairpiece, could have been, but it was carrying a dog and some luggage, and she didn't have a mask on. Gosh. So I have to actually travel this week for the first time in the era of coronavirus, and I am insufferable during a regular flu season when I fly. Don't even, if you see me, don't even make eye contact, because I will get germs. I will be afraid that the weight of your gaze will give me germs, or I'll give you germs. Somebody will get the germs. Slightly joking. But I've always wiped seats down. And I remember, I had a businessman sitting next to me. I was in business class. I had a businessman sitting next to me. And I was immediately wiping everything down. And he kind of chuckled. He's like, well, you don't need to do that. And I'm like, if you're going to sit with me, I need to wipe down any area that you were going to touch because you're sitting by me. And I think I scared the hell out of him because he didn't say anything. He just let me do it. And he sat down and did not like, he acted like he was sitting next to a feral animal. But you know what? I didn't get sick. I'm just saying. So, but, and then Ohio don't, I know, I get it that Ohio has like a, what is it, the low percentage right now of cases. And I think they have like one fatality in the past week. Good for you guys. But they do have this thing where you got to wear a mask everywhere, even in like your hotel and all this. And some of these other states have this where you have to wear a mask just absolutely everywhere, even in your hotel. What state I was reading at, they're like, even in your cars. I'm like, who? Oh, yeah. No, come at me. Come get me. I'm in a car. Have fun with that. All of a sudden it'll cut through and it's going to be a car chase. You know, media loves car chases. What's happening? Well, it appears the woman in the car is not wearing her mask and she's going 120 miles per hour down the highway. You're not going to get me. But so this should be interesting. I have my whole thing planned out because I'm a freak anyway when it comes to germophobia. And that's why I hate shaking hands. And I do not. Now I will be like, no, I'm not shaking hands. And so I would make up a story and be like, no, it's not you. Now I'm just like, no, I'm not shaking hands. It's gross. I like the bowing. I think that's totally fine. My husband totally disagrees with me and I would agree with him, but then we would both be wrong. He thinks that, yeah, it's, you know, it's like a bond. It's like, I'm like, I don't want to bond. I don't want to exchange hand juice. Have you ever touched somebody's hand and it's juicy?
Hand juice?
Yeah. Have you ever done that? Yeah. How, you know what I'm talking about, too. You shaken someone's hand before and there was juice.
As long as we don't like call it hand juice. Oh.
Because it's from their hand meat.
Go.
That's even worse.
Hand juice from the hand meat.
You know what I mean? It's like they sweat. It's the juice that comes out of their hand meat. Ugh. And
can
you
we
shake
not?
Their hand, you're like, ugh. It's just so bad. I don't like that. It's weird to me. Ugh. I don't like it. And then
I don't even like you saying it. Honestly.
No. I remember there was a friend of mine who was on my program even in person. We were on location somewhere. An actual friend of mine who works in politics. And he was apparently sick. And I watched as he coughed into his hand as he came in. And then he was going to come up and shake my hand. And I just stared at him. And then I stared at his hand. And he kind of smiled. And he was like, oh, you like oh, yeah, you saw me cough. Okay. Like it just dawned on him. And I'm like, dude, really? How long have you known me? It was so it's not I do not discriminate every I'm just saying, but, you know, but it is kind of I hate the handshaking. My husband's like, no, it shows that that's like, you know, we're friends and we're like, if that's really the only way that we have to express that, then we deserve to get hit by an asteroid. If that's the only way we can express that, then please, Smod, where art thou? Just saying. He has no problem with it. I have forever have had a problem with this. Since I was like a teenager, I've had a problem. Oh my gosh. Okay, here's one other thing. I remember when I graduated high school. I'm not like naming anybody. You know how like you get your diploma and you shake a hand? First off, that's gross because he was shaking everybody else's hand. And when I shook his hand and I had my diploma, hand juice. And I had to like walk with my hand out like this, just straight out in front of me, and sit there for the rest of the ceremony. There were 500 kids in my class. And I was towards the beginning of the alphabet. And I had to sit there for the rest of the ceremony. And I just kept looking, trying to find my mom in the stand somewhere. I'm like, I have to sit here like this. I can't go wash my hands. I ended up sneaking out and running all the way back into the school during the ceremony because I could not sit there anymore. I had to wash my hands. It was bothering me so bad. So I've always been like this, just FYI. So I'm not shaking the hands. I don't shake the hands. And there are some people who go up to you and they try to shake your hand and then you're like, oh, I don't because hi, there's germs everywhere. And have you ever had anybody kind of get like sassy about it? And they kind of leave their hand out there. And I'm like, are you wanting me to hit you? Like, do you want me to punch your hand off your wrist? Because if you insist, that's what's going to happen. So you will be assaulted. What?
Knucks or elbows?
No, I don't even do knucks.
No?
No, because that's stupid. I will do an elbow, or I'll do like a Japanese style bow, like, oh, or a head nod, like, hey, what's up? All right. So, and that should be just as good, right? We don't have to clasp hands and exchange hand juice and do some Vulcan mind meld crap in order to. Oh, I have very strong feelings about this, almost as strongly as how stupid this Atlantic piece was that got me all like wound up in the first place today. All right, so we got a lot to come. Santa Clara University, they say white supremacy is behind climate change. You damn white people. Oh, wait, that's also me. So we're going to discuss that and the tonight's debate, all kinds of stuff. You don't want to miss it.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
All Trump has to do tonight is just let Biden talk. That's all he has to do. The longer Biden speaks, the more insane it becomes. Do you know one of the favorite things for, at least that I've seen from the kids who are not raised by communists? You know what they like to do? They like to pull up his speeches where he talks about corn pop and going into the pool's basement and getting a chain, and they just laugh and laugh and laugh. Or when he talks about kids getting in his lap and petting his leg hair.
Oh, God.
I mean, the longer you let him go, the more ridiculous he gets. It just turns into this like thing. That's Joe Biden is Trump's greatest weapon. Joe Biden himself. All Trump has to do is just sit back, and then Biden, I swear to you, he's going to mess up. I will be shocked if he does not. But I'm just telling you, that can be, and I hope that he also, tonight's debate, Trump needs to bring up Hunter Biden 6 ways to Sunday. Everything should go back to anything, whenever they're talking about Russia, whenever they're talking about anything, it all needs to come back to Hunter Biden. Coming up, The Atlantic. Boy, they tried to go after Trump and Christians. I will react to that piece. We got a lot of other stuff on the way as well. Stick with us.
It's The Dana Show.
I historically side Republican. This year, I feel particularly just undecided because of the personalities.
Trump turns you off.
That's what I think when I try to make decisions.
But you still might vote for him because of the policies.
I might.
What's going to make the difference in the debate?
I would like to see if the president can tone down the rhetoric, if it's less about him and more about the questions. And in both cases, I'd like to see if they could answer the question and be civil.
Can Trump be civil? Can Biden put together a comprehensive thought? I don't think there's any one specific issue or policy that I'm looking to get an answer to.
I want to see how Joe is able to handle himself under the fire that he's going to get from the president.
Are you nervous for him?
I have some concerns.
You know, I know. I love how when we get around to election, the media treats swing voters the way all voters should be treated. Right. Wait a minute. I must have your opinion on this. What is it? Oh, my gosh. Shh. The swing voters are talking. Shh. How dare you interrupt them? Go ahead, baby. It's all right. You go ahead and talk. All voters should be treated like that by the media, right? I'm just saying. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. You can find me here.
Find Dana at D Lash on Twitter and Instagram. Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube. Official Dana Lash on Facebook and simulcast via the First Channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Yay! All these places, so much room for activities. Yay! So, the debate tonight. Are you all ready? Yeah. Are your loins adequately girded? You know what that means, sidebar?
Gird your loins. Isn't that something they said before battle?
Yeah. You had to wrap your little toga dress up between your legs in a certain way. It's like a giant, it looks like a giant diaper. Giant diaper onesie. And then that's how you could kick and stuff. Just without showing everybody the family jewels, I guess.
Great.
I don't know how I know this, but I do.
History.
You would gird your dress up, basically. Your toga, whatever. Anyway. Welcome back to the show. It's good to be with you. And the debate, it's going down tonight. Woo! So how is this going to work out? I still think that Trump should just let Biden talk and really try to get him on his record. Get him on every bit of it. And then get him on plagiarizing your record. That's what's so funny about all of this. A couple of things. Biden cannot... He's not a bad debater, and he's done this so often, but I think people need to stop comparing past debates to what's happening now, because what's happening now is not like other political eras. And I really think that that's going to come out. Please let them talk about China. Trump needs to bring it back to China every single chance he can get. Talk about Joe Biden's complicity with it. Bring up Hunter Biden. Bring it all up and just let Joe go. Let Joe go. Because he will talk himself into a hole in the ground. It's too good. Too good. I have to tell you, speaking of Joe, and then we're going to move on to this Atlantic piece. My son was telling me that, yeah, Black Lives Matter stuff is, they're chalking stuff out around the sidewalk around campus. But apparently, another brilliant student decided to chalk out crazy Biden quotes all over campus too. My son was taking photos of them, and I have been laughing out loud at these. Like one of the quotes that someone pulled this up that they chalked out was, COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than, what was it, like one century years. Here's the lives. It's just, I mean, think about it, end quote, Biden. It's brilliant. Whatever student did that, immediately passed the student this year. Immediately passed the student. Love it. All right, so I saw this morning when I finally looked at Twitter, and I saw it earlier, but I was busy doing stuff and I didn't get to it until a little bit later, but I was mad about it the whole time. So I saw this piece. It's done by Mr. McKay Coppins over at The Atlantic. Guys, he has a massive story. Do you want to know what the massive story is? McKay Coppins tweets, former aides say they've heard Trump privately ridicule conservative religious leaders, dismiss faith groups with cartoonish stereotypes, and deride rites and doctrines held sacred by many in his base. My story on what Trump really thinks about religion. And so I'm looking at this piece like, gosh dang, what is it? Let's look at this. And then it talked about a couple of religious figures that Christians I know make fun of. Let's be real about it. In fact, this is the kind of stuff that he says, that McCoppins is discussing. He says that, he goes, Trump feels a kinship with prosperity preachers. And then he basically describes how Trump mocks them. And he says, because these are all people who used to work for Trump. So none of them actually do. They're people who at one time worked for Trump sometime in some capacity. But he doesn't actually say. We have no idea if these people made this up or not. He says that one former advisor recalled showing his boss a YouTube video of televangelist Benny Hinn performing faith healings, and Trump laughed at the spectacle and muttered, man, that's some racket. And? Yeah, that's what I say too. And? Newsflash, we all make fun of Benny Hinn. We all do. We all laugh because it's ridiculous. We all make fun of it. Is this... And I had said this, I was really sassy about this, because I couldn't believe, like, this is your big story, and then the rest is about, well, basically, I disagree with him on all this stuff. That was, like, the only ridicule, mock and ridicule, really, that he had in here. I mean, I know, I'm like, I... And then, apparently... They cite, McKay Coppins cites Mary Trump, the president's niece, the one who wrote a book because she got mad that the rest of the family, she felt like her dead grandpa didn't give her enough money when he passed. And so she tried challenging the rest of the family for whatever money that he left them. And they apparently excluded her. And so she got mad and wrote this crappy book and went on a revenge tour. Yeah, she sounds so totes credible. Oh my gosh, guys, like so much credibility. I can't even see because all the credibility's in my way. What? Good heavens. So looking at the story, I tweeted about it this morning. I retweeted McKay Coppins. I said, your article's sourcing is flimsy, and you hold Benny Hinn and his prosperity circus up as a legitimate leader and cast mockery of it as an insult to all of the faith. Newsflash, most of the faithful mock it too, which is true. We do. They're trying to find some kind of weak spot. Do you think that Democrats... They would love to put a wedge in between people who are Christians or people who identify as Christian or the evangelical base, however you want to describe it, and the president. Do you think it's because they care about these Christian people? Guys, we need to let you know that your president is mocking you. He's mocking us. People of faith? Oh, yes, he's totally mocking you. Look what he said about Benny Hinn. I am more insulted that McKay Coppins thinks that Benny Hinn is some sort of representation of all Christians than Trump mocking Benny Hinn, if that is even true. In fact, I would be insulted if Trump didn't mock Benny Hinn. If he took him seriously, I would be like, okay, something's wrong with Trump. That would be my red flag coming up and the alarms going off and everything else. I mean, the guy has a gold throne. Have you seen this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the video where they also superimpose the music, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, right, when he's faith healing people? Like he's a Sith Lord. You can get mad at me if this is your bag. I'm not here to make friends. I mean, it's like watching some grifter version of Star Wars where you have a Sith Lord out there lightning people into. And then there was a story of a woman who was trying to bring her daughter in a wheelchair up to Benny Hinn one time. And he was like, no, I don't think I can do that. Can't do that. Nope. Good heavens. Yeah, that was actually. Find it, Kane. Put it in Slack. You guys will enjoy it. Oh, yeah.
I did it already.
Yeah, he would do this thing where he would like, and then they would fall down. There's a reason why Christian. It's like Babylon Bee. Babylon Bee is a Christian site. It's run by Christians. They make fun of this stuff. So McKay Coppin's like, can you believe he makes fun of their sacred rituals? What sacred ritual is the guy with a golden throne literally putting his hands on somebody's face and pushing them backwards? Seriously, what is that? There's a reason why it is a viral video with that song. Trump made fun of this. What do you think about this, Christians? Okay, well, that's not Christian. That's what I think about it. So, where was your big thing at? Can you imagine just coming up to you, Kane?
What if you're not even asking to be healed or anything? He just comes up and slaps you right in the head.
I remember that one time I was, I was raised Southern Baptist, so, but I remember one time listening to a sermon and I like everybody. I know it's insane. And I remember the pastor one time telling me, and he did the Southern Baptist preacher speaking technique. I'm Church of Christ, y'all. And he was going, you better be ready for the Holy Spirit, because when the Spirit descends upon you, you better be ready. You could kill you. And I'm just thinking, what? I'm flipping through my New Testament. Granted, it's the junior version, but still. I'm just saying, you know. So, yeah, he was holding that up as some kind of, look at this, guys. This is my big piece. And you ended up clowning yourself. Let me show you how little I know of Christianity by holding this guy up as like the avatar of every person of faith. Okay, you clowned yourself. Good job. Now we have double the reason to not take you seriously. Good night. All right, so on the way. They changed the Navy SEAL ethos. Did you know this? They changed the pronouns in it.
No.
Yeah, they did.
No.
Yep. We're going to have We're going to have a discussion about that. All my friends who are SEALs were all over Instagram yesterday. So we're going to discuss that. This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972 Patriot or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972 Patriot. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972 Patriot. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Here's a good news headline. Neighbors harvest farmer's crops for him after he suffers a heart attack in his field. This is in Crosby, North Dakota. A North Dakota's farmer's neighbors stepped up to harvest his crops for him after he suffered a heart attack while working out in the field. Lane Ugem was harvesting his wheat and canola on September 9th when his combine caught fire and he battled it, and that's when he suffered that event. And when his neighbors heard what happened, about 60 of them coordinated to finish the job for him. They brought 11 combines, 6 grain carts, and 15 14 tractor trailers to harvest all of his crops, according to KFYR. And that is awesome. They were able to get it all done for him. And they said it took them just 7 hours to harvest 1,000 acres. They said they knew letting the crops go unharvested would have been devastating for his family. And they said, you know, you help your neighbor out when you need it. You don't expect anything in return. Ujim had been lifted to the hospital where he still is and is in stable condition. That is amazing. Those people are awesome. That is a good neighbor. Fairfax County. This story's kind of, this is kind of crazy. So in Fairfax County, they're actually still running the buses, empty school buses, Fairfax County, Virginia, that is. There was an email that was sent out last Wednesday, and it was obtained by the Washington Post. It ran yesterday, and they said that all drivers in attendance are required to run their routes twice a week to sharpen your driving skills. And if you're unable to perform this task, you must put in for leave. So they're going to add to the traffic and everything else so that they can avoid cutbacks in taxpayer spending. And they're acting like that's of dire importance. So, oh man, what happens if there's an accident? Well, they're running their pretend bus route, but your tax dollars are supporting that, and they're in Fairfax County, Virginia. I was reliably told that this is appropriation. Them's the rules. That's what I was told. I mean, I really don't care. I'm not into, you know, Disney, but Yara Shahidi is set to play Tinkerbell in Disney's live-action reboot of Peter Pan, which includes Jude Law as Captain Hook. Jude Law has both of his legs, both of his arms, so I don't think that actually... He doesn't have a hook for a hand, so that's appropriation. And doesn't Tinkerbell, isn't she tiny and also have blonde hair? And Yara Shahidi is neither tiny nor does she have blonde hair. I have been reliably informed that all of this is appropriation. But it seems like it's Disney being... I mean, I was told that, right? Where are the people who are protesting? I'm waiting. Just saying. A man builds a candy shooting cannon and a robot to save Halloween because he wants to keep trick-or-treating alive. All of the people who told you that wearing masks and fresh air is completely fine if you're outside during the era of the pandemic, but apparently you can't go and trick-or-treat outside in the fresh air while wearing a mask in the era of the pandemic because science, for some reason. So FYI. We have a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show coming up.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
She was part of our culture. Yes, we wear those notorious B.I.G. t-shirts with a lot of pride. But since she passed, there are parents reminding their children that she helped their lives.
Wow, that's Kamala Harris. You know, it's RBG, but okay. There you have it. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. I'll be watching the debate tonight. You better be, too. Don't make me do this alone. I don't ask much. But here's something that... and I saw a lot of my friends, including author Jack Carr, who was tweeting about, or who's on Instagram about this as well. And I don't know if you guys have paid attention to this or not. This situation with it was the Department of the Navy, and it went out actually in August, but it's getting reported now. And I was kind of shocked to see this. And it is not like an actual Babylon B story either. That's what people have been asking in the comments when I tweeted it. It is the American Military News has it as well. So it's reported that the SEALs changed their official ethos to be gender neutral and removed brotherhood. So U.S. Navy SEALs and Special Warfare Combatant Craft Crewmen recently changed their ethos and creed statements to reflect a gender-neutral presentation of the elite Navy outfits, doing away with gendered terms like brotherhood. Oh boy, I'm made of opinions. One change to the SEAL ethos was to alter a sentence in the first paragraph of the ethos to say, "common citizens with uncommon desire to succeed," instead of the original, "a common man with uncommon desire to succeed." Okay. because that's was very important apparently for them to do that somehow.
I don't want somebody that sensitive in the SEALs.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just don't.
No, I don't either. I don't either. If you're that sensitive that it bothers you, then you don't need to be in the SEALs.
Right.
You don't. No. I'm almost like speechless. And I saw, you know, a lot of my friends that were, you know, they were saying this, they were talking about this and sharing images of it because, you know, obviously it affect and they were SEALs and it obviously is having an effect on them. One of my friends, I told you, Jack, the author, was saying he tends to refrain from passing judgment, which means, no, this is ridiculous. He actually said he apparently liked the ethos that was, I guess, like an unofficial Vietnam era frogman one is what he had said, what he was explaining. But they have, it said that the proposed ethos creed changes are below. First paragraph, second sentence, from a common man to common citizens, from he to they, stands to stand, his to their. I am that man. I am that warrior. Men to others, brave men to brave SEALs. Brotherhood, group of maritime warriors. And from brothers to them. Wow. That's an actual insult to men. Because there hasn't been a female SEAL member, and it's because men and women are built differently, and it's not rude to note that. And if you're more interested about proving something to yourself and making some kind of social justice warrior statement using the military as your platform to do it, then you're demonstrating that you're not good enough to be in the military because you're wanting to use everyone else's lives as a platform so you can make an SJW statement. You're talking about messing with the safety and security of other people's children, of people's husbands, of their brothers, of their sons, of their dads. And you're not entitled to do that. You're not more special than anyone else. You don't get to do that. You don't have a special entitlement to use other people's lives as a stunt. So they said that Naval Special Warfare spokesman Lieutenant Commander Matthew Stroop confirmed the changes to the ethos and creed statements in an emailed statement to American Military News. He says, quote, Naval Special Warfare continues to deliberately develop a culture of tactical and ethical excellence that reflects the nation we represent and that draws upon the talents of the all-volunteer force who meet the standards of qualification as a SEAL or SWCC, end quote. He said the changes to the statements were made to comply with changes in law, opening the potential for women to join the elite military units. That's not going to happen because there isn't a woman that's been able to actually get through. They would have to lower the standards and make it more dangerous for the people to go out and do their jobs. And that's not what the military's for. This stuff is infuriating. Military isn't about stupid diversity. It's not about diversity. It's not about whatever unicorn and sunshine BS you want to prattle on about. It is about creating the best fighting force, the end. Can you fight? Are you willing to put your life on the line for your country? Are you willing to give your life for your fellow soldier and him the same for you? Because if you are, then shut the hell up. Nobody cares about what your identity or whatever. That's the thing. Military is about stripping all of that away from you so that you are a part of a force. That's what it's about. You are part of a team. It's not you and then everyone else, okay? It's not like Jim and the Rockers here, okay? It's just, it's the entire team. And this is something that Trump has really, talking about the change to the Navy SEAL ethos and creed. This is unbelievable. Trump is apparently, because he's been banning diversity training, and he apparently also banned certain diversity training, and now the Pentagon's pushing back. You can build an inclusive military without doing this social justice warrior ridiculousness. I mean, you can. And if, again, if you're more concerned about pronouns in the creed of special warfighters, then you're focused on the wrong thing and you're demonstrating why you shouldn't be in that group. I mean, it's literally anti-joining the team. Trump signed that executive order, remember, that extended the ban on training involving discrimination to include the military, federal contractors, and grant recipients. So they couldn't go out and teach critical race theory or all men that you're bad, horrible sexists. And then Pentagon officials, though, there have been a number of them that are pushing this junk. They're pushing it. So he's been going back and forth. Look, these people work for him. Do you remember how many people Barack Obama fired if they so much as privately disagreed with him? Good heavens. And the media wants to act like that didn't happen. They want to act like that Obama didn't do that. Remember when he fired McChrystal? I mean, he's fired, I don't know how many generals for disagreeing with him. I'm looking at this Politico story that I had in my notes. This is from 2013. He disagreed with a number of different military leaders as to how to handle Afghanistan. And him and McChrystal disagreed with him privately, and boy, he was jettisoned fast. Remember that? He wasn't the only one either. They were very antagonistic, these leaders in the White House, with each other, especially right after Barack Obama was elected. And the media didn't really focus on that. I mean, there are a few stories out there. I mean, he purged how many? Like 100 and some odd officers in just, what, 5-year period? Investors Business Daily, they just came right out and said it. Obama's military coup purged 197 officers in 5 years. I mean, and it just goes, he fired Rear Admiral Chuck Gouette, commander of the John C. Stennis Carrier Strike Group, because he disagreed with him on an issue. He was fired in October 2012. He sent his group on September 11th to assist and provide intelligence for military forces ordered into action by General Hamm. Interesting. He fired two nuclear commanders in 1 week. Major General Michael Carey, head of the 20th Air Force. They're responsible for three wings that maintain control of the 450 intercontinental ballistic missiles. He fired Vice Admiral Tim Gardenia, number two at Strategic Command. This is Investors Business Daily. They went into, retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Valley has been a critic, has said that he's firing military commanders right and left. There's a purge. He says he's not going to purge anyone who buys into his ideology. They protect their own. Mm-hmm. He fired a number of them. And nobody, I mean, and he not only did that, do you remember when he was firing inspector generals right after left, IGs, different people looking into what he was doing? Anyone who did not buy into his ideology. Washington Post had a rare critical piece in May of 2016, Obama relationship with military generals. Remember how everyone was really excited when Mattis disagreed with Trump? Y'all want to hear what Mattis said about Obama? He savaged him. He said he made, quote, catastrophic decisions. You know the book that Mattis came out with that everyone uses a cudgel to go after Trump? Mattis blasted Barack Obama, scathing. Absolutely scathing. Said that he lacked strategic thinking. Did y'all hear anybody talking about chaos and Obama this way? Mm-mm. Nope, they didn't mention that, interestingly enough. Mattis, when you read what he wrote about Obama, Mattis says that he ignored the advice from multiple military and civilian advisors. Obama thought he knew better than everybody. Mattis writes this in his book. He disagreed with Trump on like one thing, and the media acted like it was the end of the damn world. He savaged the previous administration in this book. And even mentioned how he was jettisoning everybody who disagreed with him. Now you understand where all this is coming from. You understand why you have social justice warriors in the military, some of whom have never seen action. And as a taxpayer, because I so often hear from progressives who have served, they question your ability to criticize or discuss these issues. As a taxpayer, it is my American right, because we don't live in some sort of military dictatorship. I will criticize wherever the hell my tax dollars go. And if you have a problem with it, then I suggest that you don't get involved in any vein or aspect of anything that does take taxpayer dollars. Because that's how America works. We aren't Venezuela. This is where this is coming from. This is where the social justice warrior fight is coming from. You're going to see more about this in the newsletter this evening. You need to sign up for it.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man done got himself arrested after police say he assaulted his girlfriend after she tried to throw away his pizza. Charlotte County, Florida deputies with the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office arrested a man following a domestic incident. The incident happened just this week, or last week, sorry, end of last week, at an apartment building in Port Charlotte. The victim told officers that her boyfriend, Sean Metcalf, slapped her with a piece of pizza, used a piece of pizza to slap her, after she had attempted to throw it away because she believed it to be empty. The victim told officers that Metcalf had angrily told her not to throw his dinner away. She threw it on the ground and told police he became angry. Duh, really? She sounds like a bee. She told police that he picked up a slice of pizza and slapped her with it. Really? She said she had grease and sauce on her, and so they immediately took him into custody. He goes, I lost my cool, but she did throw his pizza on the ground. This seems like it's kind of ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, do you really have to sit here and call him the law every time you have a disagreement? I mean, if he was like, you know, it just is, he...
What are the damages?
Is grease in your hair? I don't know. All right. Remember how we always talk about golf carts in the villages and how I wish how this needs to be like a Tiger King kind of like series? You had another, they actually call them villagers. This is like Minecraft. Really, it is. Villager was jailed on a DUI charge after he was spotted in the golf cart lane. So this was a guy who believed his vehicle was a golf cart, apparently. Herman Lee Langley. He lives there in the southern Sullivan Villas. And he was behind the wheel of a Ford Escape going very slowly in the golf cart lane. They actually have golf cart lanes all over their roads?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like all over their actual regular roads?
Separate from the regular cars.
He registered a 284 in his blood alcohol content. Right? I know. And so he's in lots of trouble. Folks, we got a lot more in store. We also have Alan West going to be joining us soon, too. Stick with us.
Bill O'Reilly here. The presidential election just weeks away. As you know, more than ever, folks need real analysis and honest facts, not speculation and partisan reporting. The traditional news and cable networks feed you biased coverage and skewed analysis 24 hours a day. The pundits parade around trying to score cheap shots, and the big media companies silence anyone who disagrees with them. Do you want Facebook or Twitter deciding what you see and hear? All that stops now with me, Bill O'Reilly, and my free podcast. Don't waste another minute of your time on the dishonest networks peddling fake news. Now you can listen to the O'Reilly Update and excerpts from my nightly no-spin news free. Search Bill O'Reilly wherever you listen to podcasts and be sure to subscribe. Like you, I'm tired of the dishonest media. It's corrupt. Search Bill O'Reilly wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe now.
I disagree with Hillary Clinton. I respect her. I like her, but I think she's just flat out wrong. The election itself is going to be announced. The winner will be announced at some point. It'll take longer with all the paper ballots that are being cast. But at some point, I hope my choice, Joe Biden, is elected president. But if we are going to maintain a democracy, peaceful transition through an election is the only way to do it.
Well, that's Dick Durbin. That's I told you about that yesterday. That's his actual... That's what he thinks. That's he disagreed with Hillary Clinton. Good heavens. Welcome. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. You can find me at all these places.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently not. There
find
we
are. Dana at D Lash on Twitter and Instagram. Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube. Official Dana Lash on Facebook and simulcast via the first channel 244 on Pluto TV.
There you go. Yay! So there we have it. This, and he's actually getting a lot of heat for saying that too. Dick Durbin is, but he's, and I'm positive that Biden is going to try to make that some kind of point at the debate tonight. It's taking place at Case Western, and it's the first of the year, first of this election year. It seems weird that we are already here at the end of September. And we're just now having this matchup, right? It's just so weird to me. Now, there are a number of things that I'm going to be watching out for. I'm going to see if Trump just allows him to talk himself into a hole in the ground, which I think works incredibly well, I have to say. And I also am going to be watching to see how Chris Wallace, because Chris Wallace, remember Joe Biden didn't want to sit down and do an interview with Chris Wallace. And Chris Wallace has an opportunity here to bring up some of these issues. I love the fact that he's going to have their records, that he has both of those on there. And then that's a great opportunity as well for Trump to bring up any kind of questions as it relates to Hunter Biden. So these are all good things. We're going to talk to Alan West about this here coming up. He's going to be joining us at the after headlines, bottom of the hour here. But I'm. This is going to be the first big debate. And this sometimes, depending on, and I don't think it has as much significance as it used to, because remember when Nixon went up against Kennedy, he just looked like old and sweaty and gross, and it really affected him. He did. And it really affected him negatively. And there were instances when Reagan had said, I'm not going to, what was his line? I'm not going to use the youth and inexperience of my opponent. So I'm not going to seize on that. So there are instances where it actually can make candidates look really good. It's a little bit harder in this era of social media. But I think that the debates that Trump had with Hillary, it made her look really ridiculous. And it made him look just kind of like laid back and sort of fun. But quick. Now, originally, it was reported that, let me pull this up because this was a tweet. It was reported that the Biden campaign agreed to an inspection for an electronic earpiece at tonight's debate, but then now apparently are declining. Now, that's not me saying this. This is someone who's with the New York Post who's saying this. And this is keeps going back and forth. And then there are other individuals that say, well, this is mean conspiracy theorist kind of stuff. Why? But why is it, though? I mean, why is it? It's not really conspiracy theorist stuff. I mean, I think it's perfectly acceptable to ask these questions, considering, I mean, you guys, Democrats, were able to go on and actually lie and use foreign intelligence, someone who was considered to be hostile towards the United States, and go after and ruin the life of Michael Flynn and go after Carter Page and a bunch of other people and try to undermine a free and fair election. You guys did that, but we can't ask about your earpiece? Shut up. Not how this works. Not how it works. All right, so the debate tonight, Make sure you sign up for the newsletter because I'm going to have some stuff. I'll have a write-up coming up. And a few other things that I want to make sure that we get into because I don't think I actually was able to get into everything previously. I have to get in. I have some social justice warrior stuff as well as... yeah, I do have a lot of social justice warrior stuff. No Durham report before the election. That may come out. Here's some... And I hope that that's another thing. I'm just going off my notes. That's another thing that I hope actually comes up in the debate tonight. So here's a statistic, switching gears, from MSN that gets into catching the corona. They say that there's less than a 1% chance of catching it while flying, says one airline executive. Do you believe them?
An airline executive?
Mm-hmm.
No. Sorry.
You sound classist.
1%, though? That seems like you just kind of randomly pulled that number out of the sky that sounded good for business.
They said that there is a study. He's the guy who's with American Airlines. And he says that, well, they're citing this Harvard study that was sponsored by the aviation industry. It appears to be ongoing. And... there was data showing 11,000 people in the U.S. have been potentially exposed to the virus on flights. Guys. But they say that aviation, still, it's like safe. It's still middle seats and travel corridors is what they say. That's when I do think that I like aisle seats, but I seriously will put up a plastic partition. Right. They need those. Like, shouldn't you just have like a plastic partition you can just close so that...
nice.
You know, people, because that's how you... I like aisle seats because I like to control the row.
That little air thingy in the ceiling, it's
gonna... turn that off.
It blows viruses
I
everywhere.
Don't even sit down until that is off.
It blows everywhere.
Turn it off. Wipe everything that you touch with some wet ones or some Clorox wipes. Just saying. So, they say that they reduce cabin staff, meal service, because I have not flown in the era of the Rona. Rachel, you have. Did you? There's no snacks or anything, right?
They give you a...
There you go. Sorry, I didn't mean to like jump on you right
fine.
There.
They give you a little baggie with a water, a hand sanitizer wipe, and I got cookies in my bag. And some people had pretzels. But yeah, so you still get the snacks and stuff. You just have...
virus-free cookies?
Ooh.
I didn't eat them. I'm like Dana. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't have eaten them. And I would still wipe everything. I would wipe off their wipe with my wipe. That's what I would do. I would take my Clorox wipe and I would wipe off their hand sanitizer wipe with my wipe before I even looked at their wipe. I'd do it blindly. It's the same. So you have the touchless kiosks. I've already done all of that. I've already done everything with my phone. I don't touch things. And sometimes, most all the time, I would wear gloves whenever I do the security check-in to touch the bins because they're always nasty. Have you seen them? People put their nasty shoes sidebar. I one time lost my mind on a guy in security, and my husband was like certain that it was going to make the news. He was just convinced. Like the reason is there was like some doucher who was like constantly complaining about, I got to wait in this line. And I don't know if he was like a guy who just couldn't get upgraded or what. I don't know. He didn't go through the private lounge. I don't know. But he kept saying that he was but he didn't have anything on his ticket to do that. And so he had to take his belt off. And then they sent him, and we were up behind him, and I was like right behind him, and I had my stuff. He takes his shoes, didn't even get another bin. He puts them on top of my coat.
What?
I took his shoes, and I threw them across the security area. Like, I reacted before I could stop myself. I literally went... like, you put that on my black coat. My coat. And he was like, why did you... don't touch my stuff. I'm like, you put your shoes on my coat. And Chris was just standing there like, how do I react? Because my wife is like a howler monkey right now. How am I going to deal with this? And they were like, ma'am, you can't. And I think the TS, they were amused because I think that they were done with this guy. And they were like, ma'am, you can't throw people's shoes. And I'm like, even if he puts his nasty shoes on my coat. And they were trying so hard because he was like giving everybody, and he was like the guy that acted like he was in a hurry and his time was paramount, but but he apparently like didn't bother to pay attention. Like he had to throw some of his stuff away, and then they made him, and he was like, I don't know if he thought he was like hanging with the poors or what. Everybody was like, you know, and I was being cool. I was cool up until the moment it was time to not be cool. And then I walked him out. No, I'm kidding. That made me mad. And like they got his shoes for him and they're like, you're going to have to wait. I'm like, no, you will wait after me. After we've been waiting here. And I looked at TSA and I was like, do you guys want me to handle him for you? Because I swear I will handle him for you. And my husband's like, oh, you know, Chris is always like the mediator. And I'm like raging. I'm seething at this point. But who does that? How nasty is that, right? Puts their dirty shoes. You watch as he takes them off his stinky feet, puts them on your coat in the bin. That's how people get themselves killed. That's how it happens right there. Oh my. And you guys know I hate feet. Ugh. I've only been like somewhat violent, like twice on the airlines.
I've never put my stuff in someone else's bin.
Put it like, on my coat. He didn't ever. Just put it in my bin. He put it on my coat.
And accidentally. Nothing. Never.
Who does this?
I don't know.
And then the last time, and I swear these are the only two times I've ever been, is when I was sitting in my seat and I felt something cold and clammy touch my elbow.
Oh.
And I turned around and it was this nasty dude who took off his shoes and put his feet up on my armrest and he was touching me with his bare feet. And I turned around and I got on my knees in my seat and I looked over my seat at him and I very calmly said, if you don't take your feet off my armrest, I'm going to punch them off your ankles. And he removed his feet. So that was the only times that I've ever, you would have done the same thing too. And then I promptly used a wipe. And I made sure he saw. I was like, you're nasty. Gross. All right. So telling you what, some people need to get told and it is okay to tell them. But I just, for real, like put, I had every right, right? Chris was like, you can't just thrash. I'm like, yes, I can. And I started talking in a voice that was unknown. Yes, I can. My head turned around. It was awful. All right, we have a lot more on the way. You guys don't want to miss it. So hopefully, long story short, I hope that my travel and the pandemic experience is going to be, I'm just going to say, y'all may want to watch Let BD. I'm just going to say, you may want to watch because your girl may be on it later on this week. I don't know. She's eating the wipes. She's eating the wipes, sir.
I'm gonna monitor Twitter.
Golly, it's gonna be ridiculous. It's gonna be ridiculous. I have no idea. I'm already like, all right. You know what? I hate day spas for this reason. Day spas are gross.
Really?
Because you have all these people together and they're all barefooted and it's nasty. Okay, so we got a lot of other stuff to get into. I swear we have like serious meat and potato things.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday on the 3 Martini Lunch as we dissect the day's good, bad, and crazy news. Each day, you'll get our original and fun insights into everything from presidential politics to the war on punctuation to Jim's hammering the media's pathetic efforts to turn Andrew Cuomo into a hero.
And he's got everything. He's got the personality. He's got the brother. He's got the charm. He's got the jokes. Greg, he's got everything except the actual success.
Subscribe to the 3 Martini Lunch at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Sorry, but I'm laughing at those. Amazon quietly introduces mail surveillance. This is an actual thing. Your mailbox sensor. There's a $30 mailbox sensor that you can put in your mailbox. It's like made by one of the Ring people, and it's the basically they, oh by the way, they also have like a flying drone security camera, but it's a mailbox sensor that alerts you every time your mailbox is open. Like, do people have a problem with mail getting stolen? That's a federal offense. Like that's like a strict, like strictly enforced federal offense, or should be, right?
It once was.
Ooh. Illinois State football coach, he quits abruptly and leaves an All Lives Matter to Our Lord note on his office door after a BLM poster was put up in the team's locker room. Kurt Beathard was the team's quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator. And from a, he went, he was, his departure was announced Wednesday. He put an All Lives Matter poster on his door. A BLM poster was removed from the locker room prior to his quitting. And then there were all these protests that erupted because a colleague of his had said All Lives Matter. So he's apparently like, screw it, I'm done. I'm not even dealing with it. I'm not even. He always said he never had anything to do with the BLM sign being removed. But, you know, doesn't matter, does it? He's like, I'm done. I'm not going to. I don't blame him. Honestly, it's insane. It really is. Santa Clara University lecturer says white supremacy is behind climate change. Yeah, it's the Earth Island Journal. And they said, did racism fuel global warming? That's actually a question that the science publication's asking. Science, guys. Like the science that said the Earth is flat science, right? Just curious. Half a million sharks could be killed for a vaccine. Yeah, apparently. Yeah, this was some Sky News. They said that sharks produce squalene, a natural oil made in their livers, which is an ingredient. By the way, it's also tasty to orcas, apparently. I'm just saying. Which is an ingredient in several coronavirus vaccines. And so now they're saying, oh my gosh, now they're going to kill all the sharks. People are going to kill all the sharks to get the squalene. Can you like reproduce that in a lab? Probably. I'm curious. Yeah. Alan West joins us next.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
We look forward to a vote in the Senate in the near future to fill the seat on the Supreme Court of the United States, because the American people deserve a justice like Judge Amy Coney Barrett. And the American people deserve 9 justices on the Supreme Court.
Good. And it's true. Vice President Mike Pence is correct. So I have to get welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, good to be with you. We're watching the debate tonight. We're all going to carry each other together across this finish line that is peak 2020. I have to say, my next guest, I've always been a fan of, and he is one of the most genuine people in politics. And I really don't like a lot of politicians. And I also have to say, I have never met anyone else, particularly in politics, that is when they're asked, do you have a preference for what music you would like to come in with? And they just rattle Aaron Copland's name right out, right there. And I looked at Kane, I'm like, I have Aaron Copland on my phone. Oh my gosh. Colonel Alan West joins us, and you know him also as he runs all Republican everything in the great Republic of Texas. I was just, when you said that, I immediately went, ah, we're besties. We're just right there. Yeah, I knew it. Good to see you.
Good to see you, and a happy belated birthday. Missed your birthday yesterday, so happy birthday, Dana.
Well, I appreciate it. You've been busy, though, as chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. You've been quite busy going out everywhere because Texas is becoming more and more, not a battleground, but more and more of a battle, it seems, with every single election, and particularly last election, because in some of the most conservative districts in the state, there was some real competition between, you know, Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz. And going into 2020, when nothing can be considered, you know, for certain, you're really busy. Like, you were made for a time such as this, and you were brought here to Texas for a time such as this.
Well, all good Tennessee volunteers end up to fight for liberty and freedom in Texas. And so I just consider myself just another one in that legacy, a former United States House of Representatives member, just like the great Davy Crockett.
Yes, sir. The parallels are amazing. I mean, I have to say. All right. So let's get into some of the serious issues here, because one of the things that we have been watching, and yesterday we had on James O'Keefe, and he was talking about the ballot harvesting. He broke that story. There was a part two which came out today, and the video is even crazier than the original video that came out yesterday. The ballot harvesting that's going on in Minneapolis, and everything with mail-in ballots and absentee voting and everything else. There is a lot of concern about the integrity of our voting system. And so in Texas, and I was actually, when I first saw that this was something that any Republican was pushing. I thought, do they have some kind of reason? Perhaps that I don't know. But I know Governor Greg Abbott, he was wanting to have an extension of the early voting period during the pandemic. And this is something that Texas Republicans have sued to stop. Tell me about this and what the concerns are, because I would think, you know, we do have a pretty wide berth for early voting. Why does it need to be extended?
Yeah, well, it is actually a petition for writ of mandamus that was brought forward by a citizen in Houston by the name of Dr. Stephen Hotze. His legal representative is Jared Woodfill. And I, with the Republican Party of Texas, along with the Commissioner of Agriculture, the Republican National Committee man, Dr. Robin Armstrong, and several members, former and also current, of the State House and the State Senate, and some grassroots leaders have joined that petition. And our concern is that the governor used executive power, executive action, to extend, basically change Texas election law without bringing in the legislature so that they could look at amending that law and extending early voting out one additional week, from 2 weeks to 3 weeks. And that should be a big concern. You just talked about the illegal ballot harvesting that we see happening in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. But a story just broke yesterday about the exact same thing going on in Houston and Harris County. And Harris County, of course, is the largest county in the state of Texas. And so there are some very interesting names that have been named, to include the Texas political director for Joe Biden's campaign, a gentleman by the name of Dallas Jones, that is involved in this illegal ballot harvesting in Houston. So I don't think we need to add an additional week for the Democrats to be able to implement their nefarious actions and practices.
Yeah, no, and that's I would completely agree with that. And that Harris County's always had problems. They've had problems for as long as I could remember, even going back all the way to the early Tea Party days back in, you know, late 2008, 2009 with Catherine Engelbrecht and the True the Vote folks down there trying to fight for that integrity. And that's when, under the previous administration, they had the ABC department bureaucracies all descend upon them. Everybody, I think even the FDA came down there. I wouldn't even be surprised, trying to stop them from what they were doing, because that does, to the argument of individuals out there who say, well, there can't be enough widespread voting to affect an election. I think if you seed the ground enough and it's widespread enough, yeah, actually it can, especially in some of these races where, in these districts where the votes are just a couple of hundred off.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the scheme that has been uncovered in Harris County, it is estimated that 700,000 illegal ballot harvesting was going on. And think about 700,000 votes. That's a big deal. And that,
yes,
can really shift
is.
Even a national level election. And with, you know, Harris County being the largest county in the state of Texas, we don't want to see Harris County affecting the overall future for Texas and the 38 electoral votes that it has.
Is it that voter fraud is getting more sophisticated, or is it because for a number of years it just wasn't, as the laws against it just weren't as enforced as strenuously as they ought to have been?
I think it's getting a little bit more sophisticated, but then also I believe that the left is showing their hand. If you go back to an article that Eric Holder wrote in Time magazine on April the 14th, the title of that article was "How Coronavirus Should Change Elections in America Permanently." And what does he talk about in that article? He talks about mail-in ballots. And we know what happened in 2018 in California, where Eric Holder is based, with the ballot harvesting there. And you have Republicans that were declared victors on election day. But yet 2 weeks later, you had them, you know, being defeated. Mm-hmm. And so look at recently, we have seen absentee ballots from military personnel in the garbage in Pennsylvania. We know that judges in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and North Carolina have handed down decisions saying that results by mail-in ballots can be turned in 4 days, 7 days, 2 weeks after the November 3rd election. So this is the path that the progressive socialist left is taking to try to use the coronavirus, COVID-19, as a means by which they can enact voter fraud, which, Dana, that's voter suppression.
Yes.
When you want to, you know, use these measures.
Yes, it absolutely is. It is voter suppression. That's a terrifying thing, especially when you look at some of these states where they're getting moved. And, you know, states that have always you know, like states like Georgia. I just saw a headline actually just about a half hour ago that's showing that Biden's becoming more competitive with Trump in states like Georgia, and Arizona is so incredibly close, that Senate race there. And in Texas, there's a number of districts. You know, I look at Texas Congressional District 24 with Beth Van Dyne. I get a little nervous when I see how close this is and just how widespread of a problem this is. So what can average people do beyond petitioning, and now we have the suit with the governor's office to stop that extension? But what can people do to help push back against this effort? Because it's so far reaching and so widespread that it takes like a community policing effort at this point.
Yes, it does. And we got to make sure that we have those poll watchers out there, election judges that are out there, because we've got to have those eyes that can report back any type of crazy activities that they're seeing. And we're putting together teams of lawyers that can be immediately responsive to some of these issues that will be found. But the most important thing is we're about to close out with voter registration. As a matter of fact, next Monday will be the end of voter registration. So we need to make sure that we have people voted. We have a great system that's going on. We've registered, I believe, over 170,000 new Republicans in the state of Texas. So we're doing very well there. But now it's about getting that, get out that vote and getting people energized to go out and vote. I was at a Vietnamese for Trump rally this past Sunday evening down in Houston. And let me tell you, here's a community, they know about socialism, they know about Marxism and communism, and they are strong about not allowing it to take root and take effect and change their lives here in the state of Texas and also in the United States of America since they lost their country to the exact same ideology.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless America for that as well. You were talking to Colonel Alan West here, who's chairman of the Texas Republican Party. And Texas, obviously, I don't think that, I just remember when I was younger and I'd be watching the election results come in. I didn't really worry about Texas. You know, Texas was like, yeah, it's, you know, it's going to be Republican. It's going to be counted as a Republican state. It's no worries. Now people are a little worried. And some of it, I think, is from a lot of out-of-town folks moving in and bringing their politics with them. But from what I understand, in 2016, there were a lot of Republicans who were registered to vote in the state who just didn't go out and vote. And it's not, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is it an issue of just too many blue state folks moving in and bringing blue state politics with them? Or is it mostly we have registered Republicans that are just not, for whatever reason, getting out and voting and showing up and making sure that their voice is heard whenever on election day? Is it a combination? I mean, I would imagine it's somewhat of a combination, yes. But how many voters stayed home that could have gone out and made an impact 2016?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's a combination of effects, and that's why I talk about our voter turnout as Republicans, making sure that they're energized. You do have a contingent of people that have moved into the state of Texas. Many of those folks are the ones that had to come here because their corporation or their business relocated, and for whatever reason, they don't understand why that corporation or business left California, Illinois, New York, and New Jersey. You find a lot of people that have left those failed economic states that are moving away to Texas, because we do have the policies of growth, opportunity, and prosperity. But also you see what is happening on the campuses of our colleges and universities, as well as in our high schools. You live over there in Southlake, Texas. You see what has happened in the Carroll Independent School District and why there in Southlake they have a new political action committee that is focused on making sure they win city council and school board elections. So it's a combination of all of those factors. But I think that you're going to see a strong Republican turnout. You're going to definitely see independents. You're going to see some of those old blue dog conservative Democrats. I am very...
I don't even see those anymore. It's hard to, I mean, blue dog Democrats existing. I think Joe Manchin's like the last one at this point.
But when you have 5,000 trucks and cars in a Trump train in Laredo, Texas, when you have four Hispanic pastors that are running for city council in Laredo, Texas as Republicans, it's starting to happen. And I think that is causing concern for the Democrats, which is why they continue to try to litigate this election, bringing up lawsuits that get shot down by the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court, the most recent one being about us going back to straight party voting, because they know that their electorate is not engaged. They're not going to stay in the ballot booth, and they're not going to go down the entire ballot slate.
And you brought up my next thing I was getting ready to ask, because I know Ken Paxton has been pushing back against that. We were discussing this a little bit yesterday. Is that going to be in time? I mean, is that actually going to have an impact in time for the election? Because at first, for the folks who don't know who are outside of Texas, Texas eliminated, you know, straight party voting. So you could just, you know, you could check every box individually, or you could vote straight Democrat, or you could vote straight Republican. And for some reason, Texas decided, oh, let's just get rid of the straight party ticket voting. And Paxton's putting a stop to that. Are you hopeful that we would we be able to vote party, just straight party line at the election, or is that going to still be going playing out?
Well, I can tell you, just before I came on with you, the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court put a stay on that federal judge out of Laredo, Texas, an Obama appointee judge that said we had to go back to straight party voting, which meant you just hit that one box and it clicks all the boxes down below. We went to each person has to go in and they have to go down the entire ballot. And I think that's a good thing. That means that people have to be more engaged, more informed. It makes things a little bit difficult for some of the candidates, but that's why you have a person like me making sure we have ballot slates out there through all the counties. So that decision by that judge last week, Friday, has had a stay on it by the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court. So that's what I'm saying. That was brought up by the Texas Democrat Party. You don't see them out walking neighborhoods and door knocking.
No.
All they're doing is knocking on the doors of activist judges to try to change Texas election law.
There you go. And that's the other thing. We got to pay attention to our judges as well. Well, I'm so happy to see you running the show here, the chairman for the Republican Party here in Texas. Because we can't let Texas go the way of Colorado. That can't happen. Do you think that's going to, last question for you, talking to Colonel Alan West, is that going to happen? Is Texas going to go the way of Colorado? Is Texas going to go blue and become a big old blue state?
No, ma'am. That's not going to happen on my watch, and it's not going to happen anywhere after that. We're going to stay on the offense, and we're going to stay relentless and vigilant. We're going to have success in this election cycle, but we're going to build on that success to make sure we focus on those municipal elections, and we're going to keep that engagement going on with all communities across the great state of Texas. I think that they have awakened the sleeping giant in Texas, and you're going to hear their voice.
Yes, sir. I think they have. I think they have, for sure. Well, I know we're going to have a lot more to discuss as we roll towards November. Alan West, always appreciate you, sir. Still serving the country, and especially Texans right now. God bless you. Good to see you.
God be with you.
Thank
you.
Bye. When I was first introduced to my friends at Patch Ops, I knew I had found the perfect company with which to partner. Patch Ops is family-owned and operated by Marine veteran Tim Hickey and his wife, Michelle, and they're proud to provide infantry-inspired, high-quality PVC morale patches for all of the tired, filthy, thirsty, hungry, footsore, ripped trouser, camouflage-painted, lean, mean SOBs who've kept the wolf away from the door for over 240 years. From USMC MOS patches or using Patch Ops art team to draw up your custom design. Their custom service and quality of work will always be something you can display with pride. I am super excited because Patch Ops is the first small business to be a part of this new mission on my program. Every week, I'll spotlight small businesses to recognize and support the very people helping to drive our economy and America's success. So check out Patch Ops and my exclusive Dana Show PVC Morale Patch. Visit patchops.com/Dana. That's patchops.com/Dana.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new DanaRadio.com.
We had a conversation that can only be described as the inside of Joe Biden's head. And I saw a video clip of, like, Welcome Back, Cotter. And I'm like, well, where did he go? Why was he welcomed back? Because it suggests that he left and came back. Where did he go? Where did the Cotter go? That guy.
Like I said, I can only assume he was gone for the summer.
Because it doesn't tell you when you look it up.
Back in the fall.
And all I know, wait, the Sweat Hogs.
Yes.
That's a thing.
That's the name of their mascot. I guess they're the school.
Sweat Hog?
Yeah, the Sweat Hogs.
It's something a hog doesn't do.
No?
No, they don't sweat. That's why they roll in the mud.
I guess... It's a lot of scientific inaccuracies with that show.
I don't understand, like, the humor back then. I don't get this. But where did he go? I do would like to know where he went to, that he's being welcomed back. Now, that's what it looks like in Joe Biden's head. Today's stupidity came.
All right. Well, we heard from Kamala Harris. Which first, she said Tupac's the best rapper alive. I didn't know he was alive. And then she also talked about a Notorious B.I.G. when she said RBG. We don't have time to play that audio.
There you go. The debate tonight. Woo! We'll recap it tomorrow and agonize and laugh and make fun. Sign up for the newsletter, DanaLash.com.